Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hi there, and welcome to Joyful Eating, episode 140. So today we're going to be talking about true fun, connection, and relief. So you'll get to find out what that's all about soon. So the best bite I had this week, so I'm actually recording these in advance because we are going to Ireland for 6 weeks. I didn't want to pack my podcasting mic. Last week was my birthday. So when you listen to this, it will have been my birthday a while ago because my birthday's in September. But anyway, one thing I did want to share with you was for my birthday, I had such an amazing birthday. Normally we take the day off and have, like, I get the boys to have the day of school and we go out for lunch or something. But because we're going to be away and they're going to miss out on a fair bit of school in term four, I just thought, okay, let's not let them have another day off school so they don't miss out. So I just decided to have the day, and my Irishman wanted to work because he's going to got a lot to catch up on before we go away. And so I decided to, like, buy myself a bottle of champagne and drink a bottle of champagne on my own. It's my birthday and it was so fun. So I'll share more about that. But yeah, shout out to the team at Louis Roederer. Such beautiful champagne. So plan for today is, first I'm going to share the story behind this episode and exactly what am I talking about. And then we're going to talk about how to have more fun. And then we're going to talk about how to have more connection. And we're going to talk about how to have more relief. And then I've got a bonus tip for you as well and an exclusive invitation too. So the story behind this episode is basically way back in 2008 when I decided to start my journey for changing my relationship with alcohol. I decided I had, like, the worst hangover of my life. No, probably it wasn't the worst hangover of my life, but the hangover of my life where I just went, no, something's got to change. Back then, three things that I was worried that I was going to miss out by, like, drinking less. One, I was going to miss out on the fun because drinking is fun. The second thing I was going to miss out on was, like, the connection. And for me, a huge reason for drinking was that, like, I've had this thought around, you know, getting hammered with people was the way that I connected with my friends. And so I with my Irishman as well. So I was worried about missing out on the connection. And then not so much, but I was missing out on having that, like, you know, unwinding with a glass of wine, that kind of relief aspect. And actually, I'm including that one in this episode. It wasn't such a personal one for me, but it's something that's come up with my clients when I've worked with people around changing their alcohol, that relief at the end of a long day, whether you're drinking for stress, or I've worked with people going through grief, and that's where the relief drinking can come in. So I wanted to touch on that as well in this episode. Yeah, that's the story. So it was just, like, these were the things I was worried about missing out on. And so I want you to think about, for you now, like, if you're thinking about changing a relationship with alcohol, or, and you can apply this to food as well, like, what do you have to lose by drinking less? What do you have to lose by not overeating anymore? And just, it's an interesting experiment to, like, ask yourself that question and come up with, like, what are the things that you're worried about missing out on? Like, and I guess the other way to ask it is, like, what purpose does alcohol serve in your life? Like, what are you getting from it? Or what purpose does food serve in your life? What are you getting from it? And then you can, like, look to, like, okay, question those of, like, is this the only way to meet that need? In this episode, I'm using the example of true fun, connection, and relief, but you can apply the same idea to whatever it is that you're getting, or, like, whatever the benefit is that you're getting. It might be, like, nurturing. It might be feeling taken care of. It might be feeling spontaneous. It might be feeling free, like, whatever that is, like, just keep that in mind for you, that you can apply the same solution to those things. So when we look at true fun, like, the thing that I have come to learn in my journey of changing my relationship with alcohol is that the most fun and pleasure actually happens in the first two glasses. And for me, even these days, it's kind of like that happens in the first glass. Like, I get what I, like, I get that fun. I get that sense of pleasure, like the enjoyment of drinking, like when I have my champagne. Yeah, like that little buzz happens in the first two glasses. And the most pleasure, the most fun happens in the first two glasses. And there's a point, and for you, it might be different. Maybe it's three, maybe it's a little bit more, but there's a point at which having more doesn't equal more fun. So, and you'll know this to be true because when you get really hammered, sometimes you don't even remember that you're happy, like what's happened. So how can that be fun? But yeah, like there is this, when you start to observe, you'll actually notice that. And when I work with clients, I get them to observe, like when you're drinking, like what is that point where it tips from being like fun to like not so fun, like where, or just where adding more alcohol doesn't increase the amount of fun you're feeling. And the cool news is that when you like tune into that and when you just like realize, actually, you know what? I'm getting the most fun that I've had, that it makes it easier to stop, yeah, and to switch to drinking something else, say, because you're selling it yourself that you're not missing out by having more. Like, yep, by actually switching to like having a cup of tea now, I'm not missing out because I've had the most fun. So it comes from this really abundant place of like, oh yeah, I've had the most fun. And that it makes it easier to be intentional and to stick, like to not go into over-drinking territory because your brain's like, oh yeah, we're not missing out. So that's the true fun piece. I kind of touched on pleasure as well, but that was part of the true fun for me. And this really applies to food. The whole, like the way our senses are designed is that when we are first exposed to something, when we have that first bite or that first sip of the champagne, like that's when our senses are most highly attuned, looking for new things. And then the more we have of it, we get like it's diminishing returns. Like we get actually less pleasure from that because our senses have gone, oh yeah, okay, we know this is Louis Roederer champagne. We know what this tastes like. We can smell those aroma molecules. This is safe. Like let's be on the lookout for what else is new. So yeah, we're not actually getting more pleasure. So the more we have of something, the less pleasure that we actually get from it. So then that ties in with the fun piece as well. And so that was huge for me to like really understand that and experience that. It was really great. And so what I did with my champagne day was rather than just drink a whole bottle of champagne in one sitting, which would have made me sick and wouldn't have been in a fit state for anything. What I did was I broke it into, like I kind of paced myself. And so I had two glasses at lunchtime and I got that first, that true fun. And then I got that nice buzz and then I like had a break. And then I like in the afternoon, I had another two glasses and then I had a break and then like had afternoon tea with some friends and then had like my last two glasses. But so I got three lots of two glasses, right? So I got like really maximizing the pleasure out of that day, which was so, so fun. So that's something to consider that you did a little hack. I don't do that every day. That was the most I drink and drunk. Like I drank more on that day than I had in the whole previous month. So it was a bit of a crazy day, but yeah, like so, but I really want you to experiment with this idea of that the most true fun, you're getting the most benefit out of the first bits, like the first two glasses, say, or three glasses maybe for you, depending on how much you're used to drinking. And the cool thing is that that can change. And the more sensitive you become to like when you start cutting back, you find that, oh yeah, actually I'm getting my pleasure. I'm getting my, like you can adjust that most pleasure, most fun meter can actually, it's not fixed in stone that it's always three glasses. Like you can actually dial it back so it becomes like one glass or two glasses. Like, so that's really fun. So that's the true fun piece. Then we're talking about connection. And that was another thing I was really worried about when I was changing my relationship with alcohol, was missing out on that experience of connection of getting hammered with people. And like, I really thought that, and because it was from my university days of like, you know, I've got some booze hound friends and I really thought that that's where the connection was, but I was willing to like maybe give up on some connection in order to change my drinking because I like the pain of drinking what I was drinking wasn't worth it. And so there's a couple of things with this. First of all, like if you do still want to get hammered with people, you can do that, but you just want to be intentional about it. So it's like, rather than like, you know, a couple of times a week, like, which I used to do getting hammered with my friends, like I started where it was like, you know, I was only seeing them. So it's like drinking less. So that was happening like once a month, maybe, or once every couple of weeks. So it was like the frequency that I was doing it that changed. But then I started to get curious about, actually, you know what, like the most fun happens in the first two glasses, maybe the most connection happens in the first two glasses as well. And so it's like, if you're going to have a drink with someone, like, yes, you can have that connection of when you're having your first drink, but then do you really need to like keep going and going and going to still have that same connection? And I just experimented with it. And the thing is that no, you don't. Like, it is very different if you're rocking up and you're like, oh yeah, I'm just having
water today. But if you're like, yeah, I'm going to have a glass with you, you have that, having that one glass is enough to get the connection happening without it feeling awkward. And the other thing I discovered was actually the more you drink, like the more like you numb out, and also like the less coherent the conversation is, and that the connection actually comes from being with the person and interacting with them and having the eye contact, and maybe if you're touching, and like that's where the connection comes, the laughs together. It doesn't come from what's in your glass. And so you can like, yes, have one glass or two glasses with them, but then if you're switching to waters after that, you can still like, the connection is actually coming from spending the time, so you're not actually missing out on it, which I think is such a cool thing to discover, because then I was like, oh, right, okay, cool. So now I'm catching up with my, when I do catch up with my Busan friends, yes, we have a drink, but it's not like we need to get hammered. And the interesting thing is that I feel like they're less wanting to, you know, booze as much as well. Like they're kind of, and we have it like, I did actually with one of my really good friends had a conversation with her around that, but it's like we actually are appreciating the connection in other ways as well. So it's really cool that it can evolve and that you actually aren't going to necessarily miss out on any connection. That's been such a cool lesson. Then I wanted to speak a little bit about relief as well, because that's another reason why people drink, like to get that stress, or clients with having problems going through grief. And it's the same thing. It's like when you're de-stressing, like having one glass or having two glasses like gives you just as much stress, like it gives you the most stress relief. And then the more you have on top of that, the less benefit you get. And the same with like if you're wanting to numb out, there's a point where you feel the numbness, and then adding more alcohol on top doesn't actually increase the numbing that you get. So there is this like, it applies like this first two glasses really is enough. And so when you can recognize that, then that's another way to like, that it's the same thing. Like when you actually acknowledge, oh yeah, actually I've got the most pleasure from this, I've got the most relief from this, then it just makes it easier to maybe choose something else and or pull up stumps and not be going into over drinking territory. My bonus tip for you is to don't just take my word for it, like start doing little experiments, and like, it doesn't have to be huge, but just, you know, think about like what you've got coming up this week and just experiment, like have your two glasses and like, maybe, you know, you go out for dinner and normally you would have a bottle, like just experiment ordering wine by the glass and just trying two glasses, taking it slowly, enjoying the wine, like, you know, whatever you're drinking, like savoring it. And just set that intention of, so I'll just go see how I feel after two. And you can always order more if you decide that you want to, but just setting that intention, like, and you might be surprised yourself that actually, you know what, after two, I actually feel pretty good and I can just sit with this for a while. And then you can also do experiments with the connection piece as well. Like it's just, it comes down to playing like baby steps, just trying things out and just seeing like, and because you can always drink more and you can always like do it differently next time. But I think it's like, it's really valuable to set that intention and have that experience for yourself. And the other thing is, if you are using alcohol for, you know, stress relief or, you know, relief from grief, that another experiment you might want to try is experimenting with other ways to soothe yourself. Like what are other things that you can do apart from alcohol that are going to give you that relief? Maybe it's, you know, journaling, whatever, like connecting with a friend, calling a friend, hugging a pet, like, you know, and just trying different things so that you can like expand your repertoire. So you're not just only relying on alcohol to help the stress relief. You know, maybe it's meditation, maybe it's breathing exercises. Maybe there's so many options out there, but yeah, that's another thing to like, just like get curious and have a little experiment for finding other things. Okay, so that's it for today. And just before I go, so yes, my group, the Secret Society of Intentional Booze Hounds, where we work, this amazing group where we work together with a common goal of being intentional with our alcohol and whatever that looks like for you, discovering what that looks like for you. Like for some people, it's having alcohol-free days. For some people, it's just reducing the total amount that they are drinking. but we do it in a group. It's really fun. And if you'd like to find out more about, actually, it's my fun, the funnest group that I run, because as you know, the people who love to drink are always the most fun. But so if you're curious about that, if you're in a place with your alcohol that you would like to find that balance where you are drinking less without missing out on any of the connection or the fun or whatever it is that alcohol gives you and finding this sweet spot, then I'd love you to come and join me in the Secret Society. And so for more details, just go to thestonesoup.com/bar. And I've got a video there that will explain more and how you can apply. And next group starting November 2023, if you're listening to this in real time. And yeah, come and have a drink with me. I'd love to hear from you. Okay, have a beautiful week, being intentional, and I will catch you next week. Bye.
Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform, and I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes so delicious they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week. So it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.